Well, I'd say welcome back to the highway, the two-lane road, the winding highway through the desert, the mountains. It's what we're doing. And we're going to talk about Quartzsite, Arizona to Mojave, California in podcast 997, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, as we near the 1,000th podcast, I want to just make sure that everybody knows that I do appreciate people sharing the posts on Facebook and favoriting and leaving great reviews on iTunes. You can get the podcast at iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Podcasts, lots of places. And I appreciate the likes, the shares, and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter. As I said, comments, not so much. But most importantly, I appreciate the donations to the Bob Davis Podcast to support the travel podcast. It goes right in the diesel tank. That becomes extremely important when we talk about California because of the situation with gas prices and diesel prices right now. Although I have to say, so far, before I get to California, it hasn't been a huge problem. So appreciate your donations, Shane Parr and many, many others. And I'm real glad to have Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for Home or Business on the podcast, especially as we approach the 1,000th podcast, because when it comes to keeping all of your systems at home running right, especially these days with technology, you want to talk to somebody when it comes to plumbing who has the experience or the understanding to do quality replacement and repair of your plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. Now, here's the thing. Greg was talking to me recently about technology and said, you know, tell people, go down in their basement and look at the stuff. Because if you're dealing with systems, whether it's toilets, a lot of houses, nobody thinks about the toilets. Nobody thinks about the air conditioning control system. Nobody thinks about the water heater. A lot of this technology is like 100 years old. Even if you have a newer water heater, or you have toilets that are put into the 1960s or 1970s, you're dealing with old technology. And Greg Ryan wants everybody to know that the new technology is much more efficient and it's more affordable than you think. So call Ryan Plumbing in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go back five generations in St. Paul. Again, they do residential and business. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Quartzsite, Arizona, a field of rock. Not unlike Mars. In fact, quartzsite makes Mars look like a verdant landscape someplace in the Tennessee mountains. Actually, it's more like the moon than it is Mars. And it is in Quartzsite, Arizona, which on the 10 is just the last town in Arizona, pretty much, before you come to Blythe, California. So it is definitely the desert. And it is also the site of the Oscar-winning movie Nomadland. But I was, kind of surprised out here to see that there were no nomads. In fact, nobody is here. I'm pretty much the only guy. There's another guy down the way with a trailer that's got an air conditioner jammed into the back with wood and a couple other people. Because already in May, Quartzsite is 100 degrees. And desert life, when you're out and you're completely exposed, there's no trees, there's no vegetation, it's literally just rocks, is, I like it. I don't, it's funny because some people would find it just harsh, a harsh environment. I find it really special, oddly enough, but it is completely desolate. And then you can see the 10 not too far, and occasionally you can hear the trucks, but the thing that's interesting is sometimes you can't hear the trucks and the cars at all out here. No one at Quartzsite, no nomads. I look for that guy Bob that's in the movie Nomadland. He wasn't here. I imagine that they've gone to Oregon or someplace like that, but somehow peaceful for a couple of days. And people say, well, why would you go to Quartzsite? So this is a place that people come to. This whole town is a place that people come to who are kind of RV people or travelers or whatever you want to call them, who are, they come here in January and February and March and late fall because it's very pleasant here during that period of time. It's cool at night. You kind of have to have a heater. You don't need one. If you have a good sleeping bag, you don't need a heater, but it's a very pleasant environment in March or April or January, February, October, November. There's a big RV show here, I think, in January. And this town, actually, in January, becomes very busy. Right now, Quartzsite is pretty much empty. And it is going to remain empty until the quote-unquote season starts, probably late September, early October. So I'm here because Quartzsite was kind of my jump-off. The jump-off point back in January, I found it to be a wonderland. I was going to go to the big RV show, and I also felt in January that my nomad experience was just beginning, because as I've often talked about, you know, I've traveled off and on for long periods of time from about 2014, when I got Mobile Podcast Command. So, you know, traveling around, especially in the Southeast, especially in the Midwest, I've done it before, so it's not something that I would say was new. And coming here to Quartzsite, I felt like this was the jump-off point, because beyond Quartzsite was sort of an unknown for me. And I was going to head into California, and I had a whole schedule and plan. And I was actually in Quartzsite by the pilot. There's an old restaurant that's kind of broken down and empty and unused. And I was walking around that parking lot looking in broken windows while I was talking to my mom on the phone. And she had a cerebral hemorrhage. And of course, that's a life-ending experience. And so began the messy experience of rewinding the whole trip up to that point, 3,000 miles to go back to Virginia, which I don't even remember. I took the whole thing on the freeway, had to get tires from this American Tire place here in town, which they did a great job, got the tires and headed out. Don't even remember the trip. And I think I've talked about that. So this was the whole travel experience up to January 17th or so. After 3 months in Virginia to deal with, obviously, all the issues you have to deal with when you lose a parent. And my father died years ago, and so, you know, my sister and I are the surviving members. We had to deal with everything. And once we got the house up for sale, it was time for me to leave, because you can't show a house with a car, with an ambulance sitting in the driveway. So at that point, I thought, well, if I'm going to relaunch this nomad experience, then I'm going to do it from Quartzsite. And I've spent the weekend here in Quartzsite just kind of hanging out and getting the feel of the place. And so now the whole experience that I've kind of been talking about in these podcasts since last October and really September, late August, is new again. So in the second half of this podcast, we're going to talk about California's Mojave Desert, which is where I'm headed next. I got to tell you, I hate my printer as much as I hate flies and wind when it comes to recording in the desert. You can hear the flies, I'm sure. Because the print cartridges for your printers are so expensive. Cartridge World in Maple Grove can save you up to 30% compared to the big box stores. And they ask the question, why pay more to print? And they're right. Free delivery on qualifying orders if you're in business. Some businesses can qualify for printers. Give them a call from anywhere. 763-420-6632. They're serving the universe from Maple Grove, Minnesota. Or click on the Cartridge World banner at the top of the page that says, why pay more to print? Cartridge World at thebobdavispodcast.com. And let me get a shout out to DepoStar. This is the manufacturing company with an inventor's heart, because the guy who started the company, Mark Korn, is an inventor. And they have a lot of products they've invented, things that they're doing. And they can help you if you're an inventor or if you're a company looking for manufacturing in the United States. If you're considering American manufacturing, consider DepoStar. American design, engineering, and manufacturing. Visit them online at DepoStar.com. So welcome to the Mojave National Preserve. This is how you get here if you've never been here before. Once you get to Quartzsite, I got to take a sip of water. The only way to get out of Quartzsite and to get over into California is to take the I-10. Now, just a little bit of a review. I was up in the northern part of the state, and I went west, came down 95, came down 64, and then eventually, I don't remember if I jumped on the 10 at that point. Oh yeah, I got on 95 south, which leads from northern Arizona directly into Quartzsite, which is kind of the midpoint of the state on the western end. So then from Quartzsite, you can go on to Blythe, you can go on to these other Needles, California, etc. So I had to go on the 10. I hate the interstates, but there's no other way. And as soon as I could, I got off the I-10, and I went up 95 north on the other side of the border. So now you're on the other side in California, and I followed that all the way up to... well, geez, I don't even know where that was. I guess it was Needles, California, which is, you know, these are pretty much desert towns. Very hot, wonderful. I love the desert. I'm just going to talk real quickly about that, because where I am in the Mojave National Preserve, these are essentially, from my understanding, the Providence Mountains. There is a state park not too far from here, the Providence Mountain Recreation Area. This is the Mojave National Preserve. And there are, I think there's two campgrounds, maybe three up here. One of them is called the Hole in the Wall, and I am at the Hole in the Wall. And the California desert, there's a lot more going on in terms of vegetation and things of that, although there aren't too many saguaros. So that is all in Arizona. That's a special and unique plant, basically, to Arizona, as far as I know. These are just different mesquite and various other types of desert plants. During the day, it's in the hundreds or the 90s. At night, it goes to 40 or 50. And so you really notice the coolness at night. But anyway, from Needles, what you do is you jump on the I-40, and you're on 40 for about 35 miles until exit 100. And you get off at exit 100. So you're heading west on exit 100, and you follow the signs, and that takes you up here. And actually, once you get off at exit 100 and follow the signs, you're going to come about 30 miles up that road, all the way up. And then it's about 10 miles back into the desert for the campground. And you're, as usual, I'm like, where's the campground? I'm starting to get a little worried that I went the wrong way, because there's a cut. You know, you got to follow the signs. And there's another one about 6 or 7 miles from here. But I had enough of a signal. I actually had to look on my phone to make sure on Google that there I could see it, and I could, so that was good. I try not to use Google, but it was there. And, you know, got to take a breath. I think the biggest thing in the desert are these flies. You know, I don't know where they come from. I don't know what they eat. I know there's some vault toilets here. They're probably because of those, but they drive me nuts. And they were driving me nuts in Quartzsite as well. But the mountains are incredible. Also, the wind is constantly changing direction. So if you're doing what I'm doing, you have microphones, and I have the studio microphones outside. So I've got my Carhartt hat over the microphone to try to deaden some of the wind. And I'm sure I can hear people saying, oh, you should get a windscreen. They don't do anything. So the foam windscreens don't do anything. They're just pop filters, basically. And so now I've got the hat over it. That seems to help. But the wind will constantly change directions. It's beautiful out here. Just beautiful. And I found in this process that I really love the desert. Some people don't. It's too desolate. It's too dry. You got to drink water constantly. It's very warm during the day. But again, especially up here, it's even cooler at night. So you go from, like I said, around 100 during the day, especially in the sun, to 50 or so at night. And it's actually very pleasant, because you don't want to be hot. So I leave the truck pretty much shut up all day. I keep one of the windows, you know, with a screen open, but I leave it pretty much shut up all day. And then it's warm. So then that warmth kind of dissipates very slowly. So I don't have to use any heat or anything like that. In fact, I didn't even use my sleeping bag. So we're at about the same longitude as Bullhead, Arizona, about 70 miles west. That's pretty much where this is. How about some observations? Because this isn't just a travel log about how to get to the Providence Mountains or how to get to Quartzsite or what's the difference between the I-10 and the I-40 or any of that stuff or what's the best oil to put in your truck, because I don't care. This is not what I do. For me, this is a singular experience. It's an internal experience. It's an adventure for me. And my podcasts have always been about living your life on the air, basically, or living your life in a podcast, kind of, and talking about what's going on in terms of the internal processes, because I think that's something that might take people by surprise, especially if you get rid of everything and you hit the road. And it always is interesting to me, the varying degrees of things that people either bring with them or feel that they have to have if they're going to do it. I've talked about that a little bit in some of the podcasts. I've got to have a $140,000 RV, or I've got to do this, or I've got to do that. And the truth of the matter is, you know, I see people out here doing this with tents. Just from doing this for a while, I've started to think, well, you know, this is my frying pan right here. You know, you could do this on a motorcycle. I met a guy that was doing it on a Kawasaki 1200cc bike. And I went by his campsite at Desert View at the Grand Canyon. You know, and he had lights up in the trees and he had all this stuff and he was on a motorcycle. And I thought that was amazing. So now that I've been doing this for a while, I think, well, you know, you could do this with a tent. You could do this on a motorcycle. You don't need all this extra stuff. But some things that I have kind of come across that either were given to me, and I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this, or I bought, or just observations about the things that I've been doing lately. One of them is that my friend Steve Steiner, when I left Illinois, and he may have actually given it to me a while back, he gave me one of these camp showers from Walmart. I mean, it couldn't have been more than about $6. His dad had it, and he was our scoutmaster, and he had all kinds of this stuff. And Steve said, you're going to use this. And as usual with Steve, I was like, well, I don't know. Do I need that? You know, yes, you do. And I forgot all about it. And I would, out in the desert, you know, after about the fourth or fifth or sixth day, you're like, you know what? I really don't want to drive into town and go to the truck stop to have a shower, which is great. And then I remembered, wait a minute, I've got a camp shower in there. So I pulled out the camp shower, and I pulled it out a couple of days before, and I was at a Love's someplace in the Southwest, I think on the way down, and I checked and they had the spigots at the islands for water, and at the RV island they had one that was actually working. So I filled the thing up and brought it to Quartzsite. Now, the great thing about Quartzsite is there's nobody there, so you know, you can take a shower. I had to wait until night, but it was still like 80 degrees, 70 degrees at night. I had to wait till it was dark, but you're naked, so you don't want to take a shower during the day when people are driving by on the highway and they can see everything and you're naked. But you hang this thing up in the sun, and out here, you know, that sun is very powerful, and you've basically got a hot shower. And let me tell you, the camp shower is pure luxury. I love the camp shower. I couldn't even believe what a great experience it was to have the camp shower. It's a little bit little chilly in the evening when the sun is down and that wind comes up in the desert, but it sure is refreshing. So I love the camp shower. Can't wait to keep using that. Speaking of the camp shower, now I filled up the camp shower, you know, at the truck stop. So it wasn't like I used water that I bought, but I'm shocked at how much water you have to drink in the desert and how much, especially altitude. So if we're only at about 2,500 feet here, so this isn't any big deal. But if you're like at the Grand Canyon, it's something like 7,500 feet. And I found myself actually being short of breath, and I was like, wow, what's wrong with me? Maybe I'm dying. Maybe there's something wrong with me. And I realized, you know, I get all my water through coffee because I drink coffee constantly, but you have to drink water. And I'm amazed at how much water you go through. for everything. I bought 4 cases of water not too long ago, and I had to buy 2 more, you know, last night at the Walmart in yesterday, whatever, whenever it was, at the Walmart in Needles or wherever I was. No, actually, I had to come back over to almost Bullhead City in Arizona to go to a Walmart. We're hearing a lot of stories about the increasing price of fuel and fuel lines and everything else. Let me tell you a quick little story. So I was in California. First, I was in Arizona. The last price for diesel when I left, and this is for diesel too, when I rolled out of Arizona, was about $3.20. That's diesel too, which is usually 10 or 20 cents more than just regular flat out diesel. I don't pay any attention to the gas price anymore. When I got to California, diesel too was like $4.24, almost a dollar more. So fortunately, I'd filled up in Arizona. So I'm coming up the road and I ended up back in Arizona. I just want you to understand, geographically, Bullhead and Needles, fairly close. So there's a border in between. You know, you come back across the river and you're now in Arizona. And you're literally, you know, like 5 or 6 miles away from California, where the gas, or the diesel, let's just put it that way, was $4.24. You come into Arizona, here it is, diesel 2, $3.19. And I just, it's all about local taxes and whatever crazy local scheme they have on fuel taxes for whatever reason. I think in California and a lot of the West Coast, their idea is, as the price goes up, we'll exponentially raise the taxes so that it cuts consumption and then it somehow equalizes everything. And it's just silly, because if you just drive 5 more miles, you can get diesel for a dollar less. Why would you? I mean, if you have a 50-gallon tank, that's $50, right? That's $50 more that you're going to pay in California versus Arizona. It just is the craziest, nuttiest, whack job thing that you could possibly think of. And I just wanted to point that out. The other thing is that time is experienced differently. And I've just started to note this, and I think it's great. I kept looking to find out what time it was and being shocked that it was like 9:30. You know, I am a late night person. I've always been a night owl. In fact, on my Facebook page, it says I'm a night owl. And I have been getting up at 6:30, 7 o'clock every day and going to sleep at like 9, 9:30. And I'm tired. And it's very strange to me. And during the day, I find it like, I'm not going to say that time creeps by in a way that you're bored. It's like the days seem to stretch on and on and on. And I think for me, it is because I'm fully engaged. There's something about being on the road and being on the road permanently. And I've had this conversation with many people who are in transit because they have to get back to wherever, because they have to go back to work. You're tacking to a time. Well, I got to be back Monday the 18th or Tuesday the 4th. See, the wind is coming up again. I have to do this or I have to do that. When you get rid of everything and you're just traveling and you really don't have to, you know, I have a plan and I have to be in Los Angeles on the 19th roughly. So I know I'm tacking to a time too, but it's not the same. Then suddenly the actual nature of time, the way we experience it, changes. And I think that has extremely powerful implications. I'm not sure what they are, but this elasticity in the time and the perception of time is really significant for me. I also find people say, well, how did you get a campsite up there? I mean, how do you do that? How do you do this? Well, a couple things. BLM sites, there's no reservations, and usually there's plenty of room. I went to a BLM site in Monument Valley that was, you know, 7 miles. As I was saying, BLM sites there's no reservations because there's usually no. I went to this site in Moab, roughly Moab, Utah, in Monument Valley, 10 miles down a washboarded road with a lot of washes that you have to just go real slow. pulled into a campsite, nobody around, just me. You literally could see miles. There was nobody else around. A couple times people came down the road in the middle of the night, but that was about it. And I found that early in the week with, I don't necessarily, the national parks are great. I'm not big on the national parks because you got to make reservations. And recreation.gov is just very difficult to get reservations, to extend reservations, and it bothers me. One of the things that I found is the national recreation areas and the forests do not require reservations. In fact, they won't take reservations. It's first come, first serve. And usually early in the week, these places are deserted because they're just too far. They're just too far out. And so people who are going to take a night and go camping or something like that just won't come to these places. Also, if you have trailers or RVs requiring hookups, or you think you have to have trailers that have hookups, you don't want a boondock. These are not places for that. And one of the things people have said to me is, I don't want to drive 30 miles with a full, black water tank with waste in it and everything else. And I understand that. But, this is another thing about the more you have, the more difficult it is to maintain it. And it gets back to, what does the guy on the motorcycle do? He doesn't carry a toilet, right? But he seems to be able to do it. So I'm finding that you can do this with less, and it's almost better to do it with less. I know that people love their RVs, and I see some great RVs. There was a great RV here last night. You see the RVs, and you see people with the RVs, and it's great. And then I think, they got to run the generator. They got to make sure these things are locked down. They've got all these things. I've got enough on this truck to worry about. I can't imagine a giant RV. And it used to be that I wanted one of those RVs, and I wasn't going to do this unless I had one of those RVs. And you know what? I've learned that it wasn't even necessary. The only thing I'd like to know is how to get rid of flies. So in the end, this is a very personal, real, and hopefully therefore different podcast. And where I am today is interesting because I went through a departure or separation from politics, and it preceded and yet echoes a national separation or boredom with or frustration with political talk of any kind. And, if you followed me and you followed the podcast from from most of 2020, the whole idea of talking about that stuff just faded out. And I said, I'm going to do something about it. I'm not going to sit here and keep trying to do this. And I did. And this is what I decided to do. And at times I've thought as I would have in the old ways. In other words, I would say, okay, I should. And that's the operative word. I should, because I still read the news. I should do a podcast about such and such. And then I literally think, but it would destroy this pristine wilderness. Just listen to it. It would destroy, the pristine wilderness of the Smoky Mountains or the Texas Gulf Coast or even West Texas, where I wouldn't even attempt to record outside because of the wind. New Mexico, Arizona, and now California. And recently, I'm coming up on my 1,000th podcast, 3 podcasts away from 1,000. And I thought, I used to think, when I did my 1,000th podcast, I would be at a venue and I would have a show and all these people would be there. But a place like this is more likely to be the venue than what I would have thought 5 years ago, or maybe at a friend's house or something. Somewhere on this adventure road, which is really what this is all about, where time seems to stop. Well, if you want to help animals, listen up, because you see things on the road. I've seen some things on the road I've talked about when it comes to animals. And one of the things I was thinking about is, it isn't unusual that people will just, if they can't take care of a dog, they'll just put it out at a rest area or somewhere, and then that dog is left to fend for itself. And there are a lot of these dogs running around, cats too, and this is why we have dog and cat rescue, because these are animals that are, really man's best friend, so to speak. And Inspire and Flourish helps those who help rescue dogs and cats and help animals in need. They also do their own rescues, but mostly what Inspire and Flourish does is help fund agencies that do this important work with all sorts of resources that they have trouble getting. And of course, the organizations that help these animals need everything: food, cages, blankets, because often these animals are all over the place. So don't forget to make a tax-deductible donation to Inspire and Flourish by visiting inspireandflourish.org or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. And of course, we talked about fuel, so I got to talk about the independently owned and operated community-focused refueling station at 36th and Lindale Avenue in the Lynn Lake neighborhood in Minneapolis. I've been going there for years. And of course, those guys are involved in the community, and I can't wait to get back to Minneapolis to swing by. They feature a great selection of locally sourced products in the store, and the store is really what it's all about. They have a great Instagram feed, great humor, and a great approach to what they're doing. Remember 36 and Lynn, next time you swing through Minneapolis or need a gas or a cup of coffee. More info is available at 36lynn.com or check them out online by clicking on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. I wish 36 Lynn would have truck stops. Well, there it is, podcast 997 from the moon-like surface of Quartzsite, Arizona, which is deserted this time of year, to the raw desert beauty of the Mojave National Preserve up here in the Providence Mountains in California. And I'm really excited because this opens part of the trip that I've never been. Never been here, been to California, but never been in the middle part of the state. And I'm not even sure where I want to go next, but you guys will be along. Thanks for listening to podcast 997, the Bob Davis Podcasts.
Trapped in